But I want to show you from Matthew, I want you to get your Bibles, Matthew chapter 28. What I think, and this is, the mission of the commission. I've been praying about this and thinking about this and trying to get, trying to help people, because I think sometimes people get confused. What is the mission of the commission? And, and I look at my life, we've been serving God on the mission field, on the field for 23 years. We've been missionaries for a quarter of a century. We've been serving God together. Linda and I have been married for 35 years, what is our mission? What did God want us to do? And I want you to see in Matthew chapter 28, let's read just three familiar verses, and then I'm going to quote one other verse. But in Matthew 28, verse 18, the Bible says, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world." Amen. John 3:16, you know this verse. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Now, if we couple those two verses together, I think the mission of the commission, number one, we ought to love the person of the commission. Love the person of the commission. Now, who is that? Well, the person we go for, that's Jesus. We ought to love Jesus. Listen, the thing that gets people motivated about the Great Commission is their love for God. You're not going to get people, if they don't love God, you're not going to get people to be willing to surrender everything. We sing the song, "I surrender all." Now, the honest truth is if you love God, you can actually not just sing that song, you can live that song. It's easy to say, "I surrender all." It's hard to do it. We live in a society where money is our focus. And we get upset when preachers, we get the idea of, okay, if a preacher talks about money, he's a money-grubbing preacher. Yeah. Now there are money-grubbing preachers out there. If a preacher turns around and last night I was channel surfing and they got in the motel and there was like C-SPAN or something, and there was this American Atheists convention. I was kind of interested. I like to hear what they have to say. But you know what? They said something. They said something that kind of struck a chord. They talked about, the religious group and how they're taking, they don't pay taxes and blah, all this other foolishness that they want to point out. But then they talked about in the Detroit area, some church bought the pastor a house that was $4.2 million. Yeah. Now, you understand? Now, you know what? Hey, you know what, preacher? If I were you, I'd take it. I'd say, hey, go ahead and buy me a house, $4.2 million, and then dump it and put the money for God in someplace else. Amen. You understand? You know what? If I would have been there, I'd have stood up and said amen to that. I don't know how big the congregation was, but, people are dying and going to hell. If you love God, I mean, we're supposed to. This is not our home, folks. This isn't our home. We're passing through this place. Why would you want a $4.2 million home when, if you really love God, you'd want that $4.2 million to go someplace else and reach people? You know what? The mission of the commission, we ought to love the person of the commission. That means we ought to love the person we go for. But number two, we ought to love the person we go to, lost people. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, the lost people out there, we sometimes have color blinders on. We love our own race or our own, color. We love our own people. Hey, we're supposed to love everybody. For God so loved the world. I think we've got this idea in America that, God's going to say well done because we came to church three times a week in our nice cars that are in the parking lot and we sat in a nice building that was comfortable, and yet there are people out there who, suffer and they do it because they love God. I mean, I'm glad, I believe that when we stand at the Bema seat, I'm one of these people that I believe that the race we're in is an individual race. Dr. Skyver, I believe this all my heart. When you stand before God, God's not going to have you standing there next to a pastor of a big church and other side's a pastor of a little church and decide which one did the best job. You're in a race. There's only one crown. You can win it. It's either yours to win or yours to lose. But you're not in competition with the guy down the road. See, our problem is we get our eyes on the guys down the road. I'm glad. Listen, you better be thankful that you're in a race by yourself and God's not going to compare you to somebody else. You better be thankful because you can always find the guy down the road. Oh, yeah, well, hey, you know what? I'm doing more than this guy. I told you the story, I think, when we started the church in Ghana. I had one fella who could not, I mean, I don't know if he, you know, his name was Mr. Kusi. And I used to get so frustrated with Mr. Kusi because Mr. Kusi could not come to church on time. He was always 30 minutes, 35 minutes late coming to Sunday school. And I wanted to kill him. You know, because I'm one, you know, the motto of the church was on time, every time. We started on time, we finished on time, every time. And everybody knew we started church at 9:30, all right, 9:30 Sunday school. And Mr. Kusi would come in, it would be, you know, it wouldn't even be 9:45, you know. I'd be teaching Sunday school and at 9:55, 9:50, he'd come walking in. And I'd want to kill him. I mean, he's a good man, but I wanted to kill him. You know, it's like, why can't you get here on time? Well, we didn't have a car in Ghana, never had one. We would take a taxi to church. We were hauling all kinds of stuff to church, take things to church, and then after church, we'd get a taxi and go home. After the church service, we'd always take some people to their homes because they were paying public transport. One Sunday after church, I saw Mr. Kusi, and I said, Mr. Kusi, I said, can we give you a ride home, this afternoon? He said, no, Pastor Mark, I don't need a ride home. But he said, tonight after the evening service, if you'd like, I'll take a ride home then. I said, hey, sure, no problem. And I'd never been to his house, and this was a way I would find out where the people lived, you know, because nobody has street addresses. You know, they pick a big thing in the city, like the Coca-Cola plant. And then they pick something on the left or the right. You know, I live at the Coca-Cola Premier Hotel side. Well, the Coca-Cola plant is here. Premier Hotel is like 2.5 miles away. There's like 40,000 homes in between the two, and that's where he lives. You know, the Coca-Cola plant Premier Hotel side. Now, I'm never going to find it. So that Sunday night, Mr. Kusi got in the car. I just told him, you give the taxi guy directions, you know, and I'll watch. I found out that Mr. Kusi lived 14 miles from the church. 14 miles. He did not have enough money. He came Sunday morning. He was, you know, he came Wednesday. He came the two services. Say, wait a minute, what about Sunday night? Well, see, Mr. Kusi, because he was walking to church, he would walk to church 14 miles, and that's why he was late. He'd walk 14 miles. But you understand, Mr. Kusi only had one good pair of shoes. So what he would do is he would carry his shoes, walk 14 miles barefoot. As soon as he got to the church property, he'd stop, brush his feet off, put his shoes on, and then come into the church service. And then he would stay at the church. And I'm not talking about a church with nice pews. I'm not talking about a church with air conditioning. I'm not talking about a church that's got a restaurant close by. Mr. Kusi would stay at the church Sunday afternoon. We'd finish the church service. He'd grab a handful of tracts. He would go out and go soul winning. He'd come back to the church about 3:00, sit on one of the chairs or one of the wooden benches and wait until the evening service. And then most Sundays, he'd walk back home. Now, I'm glad I don't have to stand next to Mr. Kusi and have Jesus say, okay, one of you two is going to get a well done. I have news for you. He's getting it, not Pastor Mark. Because I had money in my pocket, I could hire a car. He had nothing. Now listen, ladies and gentlemen, we're to love those people. We're to love the person of the commission. Who's that person? The person we go for. We're supposed to love God above all things. Above everything. Above your comfort. Above all the financial things, above the blessings of America. You ought to love God enough to say, that's the mission of the commission. If God wants me to go over there, I'll go. But not only are we the person we go for, the person we go to. You ought to love those people out there. Say, but they're unlovely. Well, so were you. So was I before we got saved. Just because we're white Americans or just because we're middle-class Americans doesn't mean we're lovelier to God than that wretched person out there. You go to Cleveland, you go to any big city, you go to Youngstown, and you see the bum on Skid Row, you see the homeless people. Hey, they're just as precious to God as you are, just as precious as I am. And though they may smell, you understand, Paul said, we were wretched. You understand, we're wretched. He said, oh, wretched man that I am. See, we've got this idea, well, we're pretty cleaned up. You know, hey, it's, you know, we're doing God a favor. Hey, listen, we got to love the person of the commission. That's the mission of the commission, is to love the people we go to. But not only that, the third thing is that we ought to love the person we go with. And I'm not talking about missionaries. Who do we go with? I go with you. I represent this church. That's why I love you. I love this church. I love this church. I love the people of this church. I may not know everybody's name. I see new faces every time I come, and that's good. But you understand, and say, well, Pastor Mark, you don't know the problems these little kids cause. Hey, love these kids. Yeah, they tear things up. Thank God you've got a building they can tear up. Thank God you've got a building that, you know, thank God there's bus workers and you've got the facilities and the ability to bring these kids, because somebody needs to love them. All right? Love the people. Oh, love the bus workers and love the Sunday school teachers. We love each other. Why? Because He loved us. And we're in this together. There are no lone rangers out there. All right? That's why, oh, this great missionary. There's no great missionaries. We serve a great God, and we have a great host of people who are working together. Yeah. I mean, Brother Sturtz, if he didn't have people to help him, he couldn't be reaching the people in Europe as he's doing. You understand why? They can't go. Why? Because God has worked it out that we're all working together for His glory, not for ours. That's why when we get to the point where we, you know, puff our chest out and start talking about what we're doing, we've just taken glory from God. You understand? There's nobody that's in a position. God chose Dr. Skyver, put him in this place, and God says, I want to glorify myself through Dr. Skyver and the Bethel Baptist Church. You understand? He doesn't. He can't stick his chest out. Well, he could, all right? But there's no pride in that. Right. Why? Because we're, you know, only a sinner saved by grace. Yeah. That's why I get real nervous when people start comparing, you know, numbers. It's like, I think it was one of the Sexton, I think Tom Sexton, I was reading in the Sword of the Lord, a couple months ago, somebody sent me a Sword of the Lord, and there was a little quote from Tom Sexton in there. I love the quote. He said, when we stand before God, we are not going to be judged by the size of our ministry, but by the sort of our ministry. Amen. What sort it is. See, we're not going to stand before God. God's not going to look at us and say, how much? God, we're not weighing the balances to see how much we've done. Because there are some people, all right, if God sends you to a small village someplace, what are you going to do? You're going to weep and cry because God sent you to a place where there's 400 people and you can't have 4,000 in church? Does God love those 400 people?
Yes, he does.
Yeah, He does. Just like God loves the 4,000. But you understand, it doesn't make any difference. I see pastors in America. I'm so sick of pastors in America that are discouraged because they go to conferences and they hear all this stuff and they start comparing themselves among themselves. Yeah. I think what America needs is I would love for America to shut down all the conferences for pastors for 1 year and just tell you pastors, you know what? It's time for you to go ahead and work in your own city. That's where God puts you. Don't worry about the guy down the road. Right. Don't worry about the guy in the next city, the next county, the next state. You know what you're supposed to do.
Amen.
I mean, my goodness, we've got this book. You've got the Holy Spirit of God. You don't need to go and have somebody tell you what to do. It's already here. You know what to do. Just do it.
Amen.
I mean, I don't know what the pastors in America think we missionary. We must be a bunch of heathen. Because where I'm at, I don't know about you, Brother Sturtz, but you know, you might be able to get together some pastors in Eastern Europe and encourage them and stuff like that. But you understand, we don't have annual things where we have to decide which one of the 25 conferences we're going to.
Yeah.
And then if you don't go to somebody's conference, you get put on the blacklist. I mean, pastors are so insecure here in America. You know what? We need to grow up. I mean, my goodness, you went to Bible college. You got a Bible. You don't even need a Bible college education. I was in a church recently. It's so funny. I was in a church recently. I was preaching, and a man came up. This guy is uneducated. I mean, the goalpost you got, the doorknob is smarter than this guy. You understand? This guy, you know, he's got like a first grade education, and he flunked out of that. But you know what? The guy can't read. He can't write his own name. Can't read, cannot write his own name. But he got saved. Got saved. Middle-aged guy. You know, just a hard-working guy comes to church, you know, in his work clothes, you know, rolled up sleeves. Sometimes he hadn't washed his hands, but he's in church. Pastor took him under his wing, and the pastor taught that man to read one book. Now, you give him a child's book, See, Spot, Run. He cannot read that book. But you give him a Bible, he can read words like propitiation and redemption. He can only read one book. Now, you know what? If there's a God in heaven that can take a layman and get him to read the Bible, don't tell me God can't take a pastor and get the Holy Spirit and have him understand what his job is. I don't need to go. Now, I love these guys, but I don't need to go to Texas and have Bob Gray teach me how to go soul winning. I love Bob Gray. He supports me every year. I mean, I don't know how many thousands of dollars people spend on. Now, if you spend $1,000 for this, great, do it. You have a missions conference? Great, do it. But I mean, we got the East Coast Pastor School, we got the Midwest Pastor School, the granddaddy of them all, we got the West Coast Pastor School, we got leadership conferences, listen, I guarantee you, if you want to go to a conference, there's one going on right now, this week, every week, 52 weeks a year. And we've got pastors running to every conference and they come home discouraged because somebody who's got a big church is standing up and telling them what to do and how to do it, and they do it that way that man says, and it doesn't work where they are, and they're worried about that man's approval. Hey, it's time we started worrying about his approval. His approval. Amen. Amen. Say, are you upset? No, I'm passionate. I'm tired.
Yes.
Of we in America, God has blessed us. He has blessed us. And we're sitting around worried about what the guy down the road is doing.
Right.
Are we being blessed as much? It's time we decided that the mission of the commission for us is to love the person of the commission.
Yeah.
But number two, we ought to love the purpose of the commission. What is the purpose of the commission? Look at Matthew 28. Three things here. He says, verse 19, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world." So what's that? You love the purpose of the commission. Evangelism. That's one of the purposes of the commission. Evangelism. Now, you know what? I don't care if it's legal to do, I don't care what it is. Just do it. Because we're supposed to reach the world. Isn't that right?
Right.
Now, don't look at me like you're upset with me. Whatever you can do, go ye therefore and teach all nations.
Yes.
Evangelism. Now, evangelism may take the form of Vacation Bible School. You know, some of you folks that don't like to go soul winning, you can chalk it up that you're soul winning. You ought to come Vacation Bible School and be a part of that.
Right.
You know what? That's evangelism.
Yes.
Maybe you don't feel comfortable knocking on a door. Hey, you know what? You don't. I tell you what. You don't have to dress properly. You can be crazy at Vacation Bible School.
Yeah.
You can sit on the front row and pray and throw candy in your direction. Hey, I think Vacation Bible School is the only time you can shove a kid down and grab the candy.
Bless
God, you're on equal turf.
Yeah.
But if you have 40 kids saved, or 30, or 20, or 100, you have a part in that.
Amen.
Now, you may not ever knock on somebody's door and win them to Christ. No, because there are a lot of people that makes them nervous.
Right.
Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't do something. I'm saying that the mission of the commission, we ought to love the purpose of the commission.
Right.
And the purpose of the commission is evangelism. We have a prison ministry. I love the prison ministry. Not everybody likes to go into the prisons and preach. I do. I love getting down and dirty with the inmates. They're down and I'm dirty. All right? I mean, I go in that prison, there's nothing clean in the prisons in Africa. But you understand, I go into that prison and man, I love being there. That's evangelism. I preach and teach in there. We have Vacation Bible School. It's a method of evangelism. We knock on doors, method of evangelism. We go into markets, method of evangelism. We have Sunday school classes. It's a method of evangelism. I love the purpose of the commission is to evangelize.
Yeah.
But not only that, notice what it says, baptizing them. Baptizing, I just put this, establishing the local church. Evangelize and establish. See, there's a lot of people that are interested in evangelism, but they're not interested in getting people to church. Now, listen, that's why one of the great tools of evangelism is doing things within the local church, because the kids are already here. But it's not just winning people to Christ. There's got to be an establishing of a local church. That's one of the things that we do in Africa.
Right.
I mean, you baptize people, you baptize here. You baptize the local church.
Yes.
Right? That's what it's all about. But then there's a third purpose of the commission, and that is to edify. teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. You know what? It's not, you know, I'm concerned. You know what I'm concerned about in America? There's a lot of churches that win a lot of people. But you know, there's some churches that win people, some churches that win people and baptize people. So, but then the real true church is the ones that win people, they baptize people, and then they edify those people. Yeah. They get them in the local church, right. And they begin teaching them.
Right.
Got to have all three.
Yeah.
Now, you're going to have the first group is going to be the largest number. You might win 100 people. You might baptize 20 people. But of that 20 people, you ought to get some of those people in church.
Right. Amen.
That's edifying the people. You got to edify them. You got to build them up. That's why these young kids, I mean, you say, well, what's Vacation Bible School, Joe? We're only praying for 45. I know, but everybody else that comes will be edified. They're going to learn the Bible. They're going to learn Bible songs. They're going to have a good time. That's edification. That's why you should come to church so you're edified. You grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So what's the mission of the commission? Love the person of the commission. The person we go for, the person we go to, the person we go with. Number two, we're to love the purpose of the commission. That's evangelize, establish, and edify. Number three, we should love the promises of the commission. Notice what Jesus said here. He says, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. See, the promise of the commission, people get nervous. They say, well, Pastor Mark, I'm not built like you. I don't think I could handle all the things that, you know, you have faced in Africa. Hey, listen, none of those things have I faced alone. Yeah, my wife was with me, but sometimes she's no help. All right? First time we faced a witch doctor, you know, and we ran, she was in front of me, out in front. She beats me, all right? If we were being chased by a lion, you know, my wife would be writing the prayer letter saying, he got caught, I was able to escape, all right? She loves her husband, but she knows, all right? If one of us has got to go, Mark is the sacrifice, all right? Now, you understand? I'm thankful for my wife. I'm thankful for, you know, she went with me. But more importantly, Jesus said, I will never leave you. So no matter what you face, where you face it, love the promises of the commission. Man, just grab yourself a handful of promises and squeeze them for all they're worth. They will never, ever run dry. I mean, grab some promises over and over and over again. Ron Royalty, who's over in Struthers, all right? Poland, Ohio, all right? Gospel Baptist Church. Dr. or Brother Royalty, he led me to Christ in Minnesota. And one of the verses that I grabbed onto was Jeremiah 33:3. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Several years ago, I was over in Poland, and Brother Royalty, of course, he led me to the Lord, you know, 30-some-odd years ago. And Brother Royalty, they had a Saturday prayer meeting, and I had the opportunity to be there. And Brother Royalty, Saturday night, you know, we're just the men of the church. It's about 6:30, 7 o'clock at night, and Brother Royalty said, who's got a prayer promise? And I raised my hand. And he said, Mark, what's your prayer promise? And I said, Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. And Brother Royalty led me to the Lord in 1975, January. And Brother Royalty looked at me, and he said, you still squeezing that promise? And I said, yeah, it's like the magic orange. It never runs dry. Man, just squeeze it today and it comes out. Squeeze it tomorrow, it comes out. The next day it comes out. The next day it comes out. That's a promise from the commission.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, there's all kinds of promises. Paul talks about, you know, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory. God will meet your need. God will take care of you. Grab some of those promises. The last thing, as far as what's the mission of the commission, love the person of the commission. Love the purpose of the commission. Love the promises of the commission. And lastly, love the product of the commission. What's the product of the Great Commission? Souls saved. New Christians. Boy, I tell you know what? It would do good for all of us to reminisce back to when we got saved. Because we are the product of that Great Commission. We're the product of it. I'm the product. I mean, you know, God didn't send an angel to me and have an angel talk to me. God sent Ron Royalty. And he obeyed God's command to go. So he left Tennessee Temple, and God sent him to Minnesota. Minnesota, small church. And in that small church, Brother Royalty obeyed the commission. I'm a product of that commission.
Amen.
In his life. Now, I've been out there, and I've got products that I have won. I use this verse in Nigeria all the time to our preacher boys. 2 Timothy 2:2. The things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. And I talk about, I said, okay, you start over here and you got God. God's the bicycle. All right? And then you've got Paul. I mean, you got Jesus, talk to Paul, talk to Paul. Then you've got Paul. And next to Paul, you got Timothy. And next to Timothy, Paul said, you know, the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. And it gets all the way down, man after man after woman, woman after man, all the way down to a man by the name of Ron Royalty. Amen. And then Ron Royalty won Mark Sigstead. So on this side of me, it goes all the way back to Jesus and Paul and Timothy and down through. Man next to me is Ron Royalty. And then on this side, I have men like, okay, Moses Lanaran and Samson Lanaran and Jide Popola, Dr. Wally Ajayi, and all kinds of hosts of people. Let me ask you a question. If you're standing there, who's on this side of your group?
Yeah.
Who's the product in your life? Who's the product in your life? The Great Commission is not just for missionaries. The Great Commission is for all of us.
Amen.
All of us. What's the mission of the commission? Well, the last verse we read, not Matthew, verse I quoted, for God so loved the world. See, the mission of our commission is love, is love. So my question to you this morning in Sunday school, we're going to dismiss here that I've heard the second bell. Let me ask you a question, one question. Just answer it. Don't answer me. You answer you, and God will know what the truth is. How's your love life today? How do you love? Because the mission of the commission, from what we've talked about this morning, is love. Love the people. Love the purpose. All right? All of that, all the way down to the promises and the product. Got to love that. Now, don't tell me you love God and you're not willing to get involved in His mission of the Great Commission. Father, we thank You for the Word of God. Thank You for this church, for Brother Skyver, and Father, for these good people who have stood with Him, who have been faithful, who give,